Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Yeah, he is. Sorry, we're having a chat in the studio here with a happy pair with us. 0870 32 32 32 is the WhatsApp. So these are our visiting critics, two visiting critics this week, because we sent the happy pair brothers, David and Stephen Flynn, to the Nightmare Realm, a scare attraction in the Old Fruit Market in Dublin, which is still going on, by the way. And they're also here going to talk about recipes and things you've learned over 20 years now in the public eye. 20 years as the brand.
20 years the happy pair, yeah.
As the happy pair. But more of that anon. Welcome to studio, first of all, gentlemen, looking fresh and well.
Oliver,
thank you.
I like yourself.
I'm the same age. I'm 44 at the end of the year.
We're 44 and three quarters.
Oh, right. So that's what it looks like if I'd looked after
myself.
We
got a year on you.
Three quarters. Oh, yeah, sure. You're outful as at this stage. Come here. We sent you to the Nightmare Realm. So as unprofessional critics and reviewers of this, we assumed because...
We were highly unprofessional.
We loved it. Like so we started Happy Pair in 2004 and we used to go into the Dublin Fruit Market at 4:30 a.m. every day. So it was mad to go into the fruit market, but it had totally transformed and it was this dystopian horror scene and we brought it, our 14-year-old daughters and it was remarkable. I've never been to anything where it was like... It was interactive theatre. So it was like theatre. Yeah. There were actors. So for anyone listening who's wondering what it is, there were five different houses. There was clowns.
Mazes.
Butchery. There was mazes. And you walked in. And I remember the first one we walked in, there was this long alleyway. And there was a flickering light. And someone kind of crouched over and went, they got me. And you're suddenly like, am I in a horror movie? And you walk in and someone jumps. Like, it was... Fabulous, frightening, wonderful.
And also very different.
This is David here.
it's not like the cinema or the theatre. Like it's a very, you don't have, we didn't have a reference point for it. So it was, it was very new.
You feel like you're in a movie and it's not like anything you've experienced before.
No, yeah, exactly. And then you were in the Old Fruit Market, which has this big kind of avenue through the middle of it. But instead of it being like that, it was very dystopian. It was like something out of Diagon Alley in Harry Potter, but it was horror movie. Like it was really novel and you're kind of going, have I woken up somewhere different? Like it's really unique.
And there are people who work in movie props and production design and sets and all that are behind it. That's why it looks so incredible. The amount of money and work that's gone into it.
Oh, incredible. Yeah. And then about 120 different actors who jump out at you.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Because Stephen, you're fearing that they're going to touch you initially.
You go in initially and you're not sure. It's so out of your norms. So you don't know what the hell is happening. You run around a corner and someone's coming in your face and you're like, oh my God, what's happening here? This type of reaction. And after maybe two or three of the houses, you kind of become more acclimatized and you realize they're not going to touch you and they're not really going to grab you and put you on the table and chop you up. You realize that it's an entertainment experience and it's really fun. But even still, it's frightening.
Did you get invited into some of the secret rooms they have?
They invited us into one afterwards. Yeah, we went home. We actually went home with the kids.
Oh, afterwards.
But did you go to the secret room?
I remember last year I went and there was a kind of an individual performance goes on there and it's like, oh my God, can we leave? Is this going to be properly scary? And like a trick, a person was dancing on a table and then the lights go out and they're gone and you don't know where they've gone. But the real nerds on these scare attractions seek those out all the time and will do it multiple times in order to get invited into the secret room. Wow. Come here, teenagers with both of you.
Yeah, both of our teenage daughters came in with us and they loved it. They really found it
really
fun.
The crowd is teenagers, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of teenagers. And then there is quite a lot of fathers and daughters or fathers and sons and mothers and sons. You know, there's a fair amount of that of hand-holding. The group above us, the kid just bawled crying like and she left after the first one.
I think she was about eight.
She was young now, so... But
didn't know what to expect. Okay.
I think it was
quite unnerving. I think I remember the scariest one was a vampire house, Sunset Manor or something, but they changed them every year.
I loved the one, Witches and Religion. And you walked in and there was this big grand man kind of talking about, hear ye. And it was like out of a church.
It was really well done. It was good.
So really enjoyed that.
Yeah, very highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Is it still going on? They'll find out for us. I'm not sure if it's still, I think it's still running for the weekend because Halloween is still going. Come here, 20 years as the happy pair. Is it true you were kind of beer swilling jocks at one stage?
Back before that. So we started the Happy Pairs of Veg Shop in 2004. And before that, we were the quintessential jocks. We were, you know, we played semi-pro rugby. We played off scratch and golf. We were, you know, and we went to all boys schools and we're part of four boys in a family. Yeah. So we were very into competitive, you know, getting noticed by, or like, look
external
at me.
Validation.
External validation from being good at things. So we were definitely point swilling jocks.
That was the performance style. of thing.
That was part of it, yeah. So,
but you decided quite young then to just live well, live healthily, give up alcohol.
It was gone away travelling and I guess taking ourselves out of that and kind of realising, wow, what I'm interested in. And I found I was fascinated with food and how food can be the crux of so many different aspects of society, and what you eat can radically change your health and the health of the world around you. So we became really interested in eating more veg and this started the happy pair.
In your 20s?
Yeah, we were just 22. So we were 22 and then age 24, we started the happy pair. So we ended up leaving as these, you know, pints, will and jocks. And then whatever way, this 2 year period, we ended up, you know, being in all sorts of other parts of the world, and we didn't have the same social conditioning. You know, we were completely set loose. There was no social media, and we both ended up becoming plant-based and giving up alcohol and getting into spirituality. And then Steve one day asked me, do you want to start a veg shop to try to get people to eat more veg? And that was it.
And that's the place in Greystones.
Yeah, and we literally started it 20 years ago this month.
Wow. Yeah. Because I'm curious of the timing, because it's the middle of the boom when this country was going the opposite way, couldn't get enough champagne down or drinking.
Yeah.
And veganism and vegetarianism wasn't a thing, you know?
It was definitely strange. And when we started, we started with a fruit and veg shop and a dream of creating a happier, healthier world and building community, which is very cliche, but it really was about creating social change. Like, we ended up calling it the Happy Pair, but one of the names I was adamant of calling it, I remember Declan the sign man came out and he was trying to fit it up in the sign, and he came back down, lads, it just won't fit, you're going to have to call it something different. And our name is David and Stephen Flynn. The name we really wanted to call it was Flinners, Fruit and Veg for Social Change. But it didn't fit, obviously, so we went with that.
So it really was about trying to get people to eat more veg. And it's been 20 years of that journey. You know, even from the start, we used to go to local schools and try to encourage them with smoothies, getting them to make smoothies and talking about eating more fruit. And, you know, so it's been that agenda since the very start. And 20 years later, it's still just as relevant, if not more relevant.
David, what I'm curious, this is for both of you really, is the fact that, you know, you're born and bred in Greystones in Wicklow, and now you're raising your families there and you have your business there. You've never left Greystones.
No, I literally built a house in my parents' garden. So I've literally come home.
Again, unusual as well, isn't it?
Unusual, but there's something beautiful. Even I was out trick-or-treating with my kids and chatting to one of the other dads last night and saying, there's something beautiful about, like, you bump into friends that you've known for 40 years. And you've known them through all aspects. You went to school with them. You saw them grow up. There's something beautiful about it, at least that I love.
It's unusual. It's kind of normal in the country, which we assume is everything outside of Dublin and Wicklow, because Wicklow gets lumped in. But because if you were down in the country, you would just be the Colchis who never left.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think it's beautiful, because you look at American culture and people tend to go to university and then they never come back. And I'm like, if you've got kids, that's really hard, because it's so important to have a family network and friends and community to help you. Yeah.
And tell us how many kids you have.
So we got three kids each.
Six between us. And teenagers and also small ones.
I've got a one-year-old. So
you've got a blended family, I think.
Blended family, absolutely.
Kamala Harris.
And even in the book, we have a whole chapter called Dinners Our Kids Actually Eat. Because for many people listening, like, you know, everyone wants their children to eat better. And even like last night, we went out trick-or-treating and my son Theo came home with 200 small bars of chocolate, and we weighed it. It was like 4.2 kilos of chocolate. That's just absolute rubbish. And like, you'll remember growing up, we used to go trick-or-treating and we got a bag of monkey nuts, and you got a clementine and you got an orange, and at most you got a handful of sweets. Yeah. And it's just an indicator of how the environment has changed and how difficult it is to get people to eat healthier.
What will you do with the sweets?
I took them off them last night. They were kicking and screaming, but I let them eat what they want last night. And then it was like, lads, give me your bag. And in fairness, they gave it to me without any kicking or screaming. It was like, fair enough, Dad.
How do you handle meat in your families?
At home, they eat vegetables. And when they can go out, they can eat what they want. Because, like, I guess we don't want to preach it and force it down their throat. You know, you want them to eat healthy and you want them to make their own decision. They're different. They're not me. They're not my wife. They're their own unique people. And you want to let them... You know,
so when they go out, they can eat.
Oh, they eat whatever they want.
You just look away when they.
Do their thing. No, even when we're at restaurants, they'll order meat and whatever. That's their gig.
I have been reading about people who have been vegetarian or vegan for decades and have now changed, and this seems to be the other new phenomenon. Martin Freeman is the actor that comes to mind. 30 years never eating meat, and then a doctor said, "You're gonna have to eat some meat." I suppose it's different for everybody.
Yeah, I think it's different. And I guess our
message... Your dumbfounded silence tells me
everything. I'm going to say it's not about vegan or vegetarian, because these things are very, you know, idealistic. But
and binary.
They're binary, but I think most people sit somewhere in between. And the message, our message is very... It's been the same since the start. It's about eating more veg. Because now if you look at the food environment we live in, like exactly as Stephen was saying there about Halloween being an addictive over the last 40 years, gone from monkey nuts and clementines to just 4 kilos of chocolate... And it's about, we've got to consciously eat more fruit and veg, because even it was a food safety, a recent study from them found that 9 out of 10 kids aren't eating enough fruit and veg on a daily basis. Right. So it is a kind of societal issue, you know.
Yeah. Did anyone ever say time to tone down the positivity?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, as you said earlier, people are skeptical of optimism. And
but yeah, I guess
cynical.
That's our nature. Like, we call
it. Can you not dial it down a small bit, lads?
Sorry, we'll go down to 7. We'll dial it back.
And I think that's part of being an identical twin. You've always had that support. You've always had that.
Someone to compete with to try to get attention. So we've been competing for attention for 44 years.
He said, someone to support me. You're going, someone to compete with.
well, that's the why dynamic. The noise that keeps getting louder and bigger and more. Look at my handstand.
For those listening, David is the competitive one and Stephen is. No, everyone gets along and supports
each
other.
I appreciate that, Oliver.
So they're the highs, just being constantly positive. And as I said at the start, Irish people are very, very suspicious of people who are very happy all of the time. But there are some lows as well, and you've had to do apologies. Now, the apologies is kind of the unscientific. Explain to us why you had to apologise.
We made a mistake. We said a couple of things on social media that were incorrect, so we apologised. I think that's part of anyone listening, 20-year journey, you're going to make mistakes. And during the book, we have a whole section on failure, where we talk about where we had 4 cafes going into COVID. The first one in Dublin Airport. It was the first one in an airport serving plant-based food with compostable packaging. First one in the world. We were super proud. We'd one in Clondalk and we had 2 in Greystones. And with COVID, we had to restructure. We had to close 3 cafes. We had to make a number of our team redundant, which is horrible. Like, it's literally one of the worst things, at least I've ever had to experience. And even back a year ago, we have a 4-acre organic regenerative farm and there were gusts of 100 kilometre-hour winds and they destroyed 2 tunnels overnight, and that was 40 grand's worth of damage. And at that point, I felt like, I feel like giving up. Like, literally.
Yeah. So it's like, well, you're crying, like genuinely crying at those moments. Yeah.
And even the products.
The time you were apologising, which was the social media post about a diet that would reduce the risk of breast cancer, and people said this is misinformation. I think it was, I remember looking back, it was the apology, because you were smiling the whole time through the apology, people going, oh, this isn't a proper apology.
Yeah, a friend said a public apology is like landing a perfect 10 in gymnastics. You're never going to make everyone happy.
Because if you're too sad or too happy, it's very...
Like, I'm glad to say you haven't even, you know, broken the smile.
No, and even to tell one story.
Of this.
Like, failure is part of growing up. We live in a culture where people celebrate success and they forget that part of success is getting through failures.
But I can even tell a story about that.
Please do, David.
Because we have a sprout farm, and our brother Dara back 12 years ago was selling sprouts to local businesses.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Sprouts are like alfalfa and broccoli and whatnot. And you probably don't remember this, but there was an E. coli outbreak from sprouts in Germany.
Sprouts.
And sprouts got blamed. So overnight, Dara's sprout business fell through the floor. And he'd nothing to sell. Like, he'd nothing at all to sell. And he was like, what can I sell? And Steve said, I make these pestos and we sell 10 of them in the shop. Do you want to try selling these pestos to the shops? And he started selling the pestos. And that became the start of our foods product business.
That's
and now it's gone from that to where we've sold, you know, millions of food products across Ireland in Supervalue and Centra to helping people to eat more veg.
So you've gone through the failures and it's still a success, isn't it, today?
Well, success is relative.
Success is arbitrary.
We're going to have to take a quick break and we're going to talk about food and the recipes right after these. Back shortly.
From the North Tech Studio, followed by your message to 80889.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. Online car insurance that's driven to save you time and money.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we still have the happy pair with us. And what am I eating, David and or Steve?
You're eating a chocolate peanut caramel square. So we call it healthier because it's higher in fibre. Most, if you think of caramel, it's normally butter.
It's got 5 ingredients.
It's normally butter and sugar.
Oh, it's a 5-ingredient treat.
Yeah.
So better than the thing that people got at Halloween.
And we were saying earlier, we cooked it on the Today Show back about a month ago in New York City.
On NBC.
Yeah, it was mad. It was like one of the biggest daytime shows in New York.
It is.
And we were cooking, Roger Federer and Steph Curry were on it that same day. And one of the presenters, Chanel, said, my, that could be one of the best desserts I've ever had. So it's really healthy and it's great. And the recipe is in the book.
And then the book, in case anyone's listening, it's called The Happy Pair 20. And it's our 20-year anniversary book. So it's the best recipes, stories from the last 20 years. And this is from a chapter of 5-ingredient cakes.
Fantastic. I love how you're doing all the work for me. And the two things recommended from our team, apparently, are the beetroot burgers. I'm a meat eater, but I do like the odd beetroot burger here and there.
Right.
What's the secret to your beetroot burgers?
We have a 4-acre farm and beetroots are in season right now. And question for you, Oliver, what is the sweetest of all vegetables?
Oh, the sweetest?
Yeah.
Well, it must be the beetroot.
Yes! Well, if you think about Ireland, most of the sugar cane is the sugar beet. So yes. Beetroot, they're
where
really,
we got our sugar once.
Yeah,
upon a time.
It's an earthy burger, and you're ready to go. You go for it, Oliver.
It's the Happy Pear 20. Is that the
Happy Pear 20 is the name. It's celebrating 20 years. It's our anniversary book.
It's a gorgeous book. The beetroot burgers and the cauliflower dish. Big fan of cauliflower here as well. Are all in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, thanks a million for coming in, gentlemen. The Nightmare Realm actually continues until today. Norma Sheehan's show is called Wine O'Clock, and Callum's Kicks is on tonight, and I'm going to finish eating this lovely chocolate square. Claire Byrne is next. Talk to you again next week. Bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1. Listen back on the RTE Radio app.